We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ. And the website is 1700thechamp.com. This weekend, you're going to get Creighton, Villanova, Virginia, North Carolina, St. Mary's, Gonzaga. That's going to take you from 10:45 in the morning till about 10:30 that night. A little basketball Saturday for y'all. Sunday, Northern Iowa, Belmont in Cedar Falls, an 11 o'clock pregame. Be fun to listen to that one as well. This segment is going to be brought to you by Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. They have three locations, 6001 West Town Parkway in West Des Moines, 1301 Penn Avenue, Suite 213 in Des Moines, and 350 Northeast 36th Street in Ankeny, Iowa. Services include foot, ankle, hand therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, sports med, sports rehab, trauma, and urgent injury. Their urgent injury clinics, DMOS urgent injury clinics, are at both Ankeny and West Des Moines locations. No appointment needed. You can look up wait times online at DMOS.com. It's important, and it is a better way to pulled up something I wanted to read you guys, and I left the volume up on it. You can look up wait times online at DMOS.com, which is really, really convenient. New to DMOS is also Engineered Performance by DMOS, world-class sports rehab and performance training center in Central Iowa for all types, from great athletes down to me, all kinds. 1711 Southwest Plaza Parkway in Ankeny, Iowa, Des Moines Orthopedic Centers. Thank you very much for being a part of this program. Okay, so the Iowa Hawkeyes, they played Wisconsin at Wisconsin last night. And it was one of those grind games, right? It was 27-26 at halftime. Wisconsin outscored Iowa by 11 in the second half. Ended up winning 64-52. And I'm looking at the box score. And when you take a quick look at it, it was one of those nights. Iowa shot 32% from the field. They shot 10% from 3-point line and shot 69% from the free throw line. They took 28 three-pointers. That is, they took 62 shots total. So that's a lot. That's 31. It's a lot. This is when, I mean, Peyton Sanford was 1-for-4. Patrick McCaffrey was 0-for-3. Connor was 0-for-5 from 3-point line. Ulis was 1-for-5. Tony Perkins was 0-for-5. Chris Murray was 1-for-5, 2-for-10 from the field. He had 5 rebounds. He had 4 fouls. Flipper Reka led them in scoring. Him and Tony Perkins, 13 points apiece. Connor McCaffrey had 3 turnovers. Yeah, I don't know if he's had 3 turnovers the entire year. Because it wasn't, I mean, Wisconsin didn't play out of their minds. They shot 52% from the field. They shot 22% from 3-point line. They were 4-for-18. Rebounds were even. Assists were almost even. Steals were even. Blocks were, Wisconsin did not have a block shot last night. Iowa had 2. Wisconsin had more turnovers. They had 11. Iowa did have 19 fouls, and Wisconsin had 12. Welcome to conference play. It seems to be the way it happens that you're gonna be, you know, plus 4, plus 5, plus 6. If you're the visiting team, that's what you're going to do, especially if they were taking, even though they took 18 shots from 3, they still were taking the ball. They were taking the ball to the hole and getting shots. And West, I mean, seriously, if I would have just read you this, okay, I'm going to read you Wisconsin's line. And this is what it's like to play Wisconsin. They shot 52% from the field. Okay, I get that. They shot 22% from three. They shot 51% from the free throw line. They had 11 assists, but they had 11 turnovers. They did have 38 rebounds. They had 12 personal fouls. They scored 64 points, and they win by 12. That just shows. I don't know if it was an off night. I don't know if it was Wisconsin's defense. It's just it happens. So with that being said, now you are. I have that up here, I do believe. Oh, give me just a second here. The Big Ten. I thought I had standings up, but I guess, I think I do have standings up. In the standings right now in men's basketball in the Big Ten, this is why it kind of hurts them a little bit. So they have games left with, let me get there, and I'm going to click back here. Sorry, I know this is radio and you can't see me clicking, but so they have games. They have Nebraska at the end of the year. I know that one without even looking. They have a winnable game against Michigan State at home. That's their next game. It is on Saturday. It's an 11 a.m. game. They have to go to Indiana. That's a tough game. And then they have Nebraska. That Nebraska might be playing for something. Maybe you hope they're playing for something. Nebraska's 7-10. They're 14-14. Probably not playing for a lot, except for to be a spoiler, maybe even. That dropped Iowa to 9-8. Michigan State, Rutgers, and Michigan and Illinois are all 9-7, so they have a game they have to play yet. So does Northwestern, and so does Ohio State. That's the thing that I guess I would say the most about that is they were on such a they had won, you know, they won three games. They lost to Michigan State at Michigan State. They took three wins: Rutgers, Northwestern, Illinois. Lost to Purdue, came back, beat Minnesota and Ohio State, lost to Northwestern by 20, which probably was unexpected, and then lost by 12 to Wisconsin. I think that's more unexpected than not, but I'm when you look at it as a whole, and you look at the scoring from last night, what Patrick McCaffrey has gone through this year. He played 18 minutes last night, went 0 for 3. He had an assist, had a block. He's still dealing with stuff. And the fact that is going on, that means that even with four fouls with Rebecca and Murray, they both, one played 31, one played 27. Tony Perkins played 33. Connor McCaffrey played 36. Peyton Sanford played 26. Ulis played 23. You know, it's what you're asking them to do is difficult, and I think that's when you're looking at Iowa State and Iowa, because that's what we do right on radio. We compare. They're two polar opposite teams, but the things that they struggle with them at times mightily. Iowa State has a hard time scoring, but plays really good defense, rebounds well, depends on how the game's called, and they're in almost every game. Iowa, a way more high-powered offense, not horrible on defense, just not consistent on defense. Individually matchups, I think they do a really good job. Team defense, maybe not as much. Also, you know, not that there's... Somebody said that to me the other night. Well, you know, it used to be you have a shot. No, I don't think anybody has shot blockers anymore. I mean, they don't play that way. And the defense isn't coming from, you know, cutting people off from going to the hole. It's just defense is keeping people in spaces where they don't want to be. That's how defense is played in college basketball nowadays. And to a certain extent, when the NBA wants to, they make you take shots from places you don't want to take shots from. I mean, it if you look at Iowa or Iowa State, they if you give them open look three-pointers, they're going to hit more than they miss. So teams have started taking that away. Iowa State doesn't really have an inside presence, and Flip Rebecca's not a back to the basket. I mean, he's just a really he's more of a what I would consider to be an NBA power forward than anything. And I see nothing wrong with that. I think he's extremely talented, and I like watching him play basketball. I also think that against certain teams, and definitely against certain teams, when you get into the NCAA tournament, playing Perkins and Ulis and McCaffrey in the backcourt is going to hurt you. I mean, I sincerely say this, that I think you have to have Peyton Sanford on the floor 36 minutes a game once you get into the NCAA tournament, because having Perkins, Ulis, and McCaffrey against, I just don't think that works. It works in the Big Ten because it's a grind. The NCAA tournament's not a grind. There are teams out there that you haven't heard of or in smaller places or in other conferences that aren't, you know, they're like sixth or seventh in the conference that are going to make the tournament that can dribble drive, they can penetrate, they can shoot threes, they can do all of that, and they're big. I mean, and Iowa State's struggle is, when they get into the NCAA tournament, is who's going to be their scorer. At the beginning of the year, I'm like, you know what? Not having one allows these guys to get into rhythm, and whoever leads, leads. Well, once you get in the dog days of these conferences, which both these teams are in, you need somebody that you can consistently, that's why the best player on either team is Chris Murray, because he can consistently score. He didn't last night. Now, I don't know how quickly he picked up his four fouls. He didn't have a good shooting night, but neither team besides Chris Murray has that guy. And that's the really funny thing. Even though Drake, I get it, they're in the Missouri Valley, it's a lesser conference, they have dudes that can score. DeVries can score, and they have senior leadership. That's the other thing. Once you get into the NCAA tournament, the Iowa Hawkeyes and Iowa State, with their depth and their where that depth's coming from, you know, it's not a bunch of freshmen that are out there playing. I mean, these are seasoned men that are playing for both of these teams. I just think you have to. I mean, Iowa State has to get these next two home games. It is not a want to; it's a have to. You have to get those. Plus, the fact one is Oklahoma, and you just want to beat Oklahoma because we don't like Oklahoma. We don't like Oklahoma. We don't like Texas. And then you need to even the score with West Virginia. That's a game that you probably should have won. That was one of the worst officiated games that I've ever seen. It wasn't the worst officiated game I've ever seen. It's the worst foul calls I've ever seen in my life. The amount of foul calls. That's a payback game. And then you let the chips fly as they may. If you win those two home games, it doesn't matter what you do. You're going to be a four, a five, or a six. You lose one of these two home games, and then you're probably to get to that point, you're going to have to win some games in the Big 12 tournament, which is going to be, it's going to be a monster. And it's going to be exciting, and it's going to be fun, and then you lead right in, and I can't wait. But probably if you were talking to Coach McCaffrey and to a couple of players, probably a loss that you didn't think was going to happen. And I don't even know if it was, I think maybe they were more upset about the Northwestern loss just because of the point differential. But the Iowa Hawkeyes are a better team than Wisconsin. I mean, there are no ands, ifs, or buts about it. They are a better basketball team than Wisconsin is. It was just one of those nights. I mean, and the other thing that was out on social media is, well, why did they take 28 3-point shots? Well, because they weren't getting anything else. It was one of those games where Wisconsin said, hey, you know what? You're going to beat us. You're going to beat us from shooting 3-pointers. You're not going to get inside. You're not going to go the free throw line. They only went to the free throw line 13 times. That's not a typical Iowa game either. So, you know, you take it and you move on. That's all you can do, and that's okay. One of the interesting things that you're going to start seeing, I got about a minute here. There's going to be a lot of cap casualties in the NFL. I think for most people, this is how I think this goes. It's like the Super Bowl is awesome. The season's okay, but the draft and the who's getting cut and who's getting picked up before the draft may be the biggest part of the NFL season. I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't think that we can sit here and say that it's bad, but it's amazing the amount of people that constantly are just looking at that stuff and talking about it, because I'm one of them. And the last thing, about 20 seconds, I have some Eric Bieniemy. Once we'll do that last segment, Potpourri, after talking to B Styles here in just a second. I think Eric Bieniemy is going to do a good job. I don't know if that means he's going to get a head coaching job. I don't know if that means he's going to be with the Washington Commanders after next year. I don't know what any of that means. But for everything that he's been through, if you knew all the behind the scenes and some of the things that are said about him, not to his face, I feel sorry for the guy. I really do. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. B Styles, do me a favor, coming in today since I'm off tomorrow. Talk to him next.
It's The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Thursday once again. Everybody drive home safely. Got to get you home. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. This segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company, provides designs, engineers, installs, programs, and services HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls for the entire state. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to Woodman Controls and look for various high-end employment opportunities in development, project management, field or service technicians, and many more for an outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company. My next guest, he is Brendan Styles. He's at The B Styles. He did me a favor coming in here on a Thursday so I can enjoy my wedding anniversary with my lovely wife. B, how you doing, brother?
Doing good. It's actually a year and a half for me today with my wife, so it's kind of funny. But I was going to say otherwise. I'm surviving the snow, You should say survived it. It's finally stopped snowing, but
how much snow?
About a little over a foot, I would say, here in Minneapolis.
That's crazy. That's a lot of snow. Not a lot of place to put it.
Oh yeah. No.
That's the crazy part.
I mean, I guess it's all going to be going down the river, coming down to you guys, but.
Exactly. I know we want to talk about Iowa men, Iowa women. I've asked this with everybody. I need your take. How do we fix the All-Star game for the NBA?
I don't know if it can.
Do you just keep doing how you're doing, or do you stop doing it? I mean,
no. It's hard to say because, like, you have to have it for obvious reasons, because especially when you think about guys that maybe have incentives in their contracts, like say if they're an All-Star, they can collect a bonus or whatever. So like those are reasons that you have to have it, I believe. I don't know if it's something where maybe you go back to an East-West format as opposed to what they've been doing, although I guess it's made it more even for games. But I think part of it too is just there was a time where maybe there was more of a, like, not throughout the entire game, but there were times where there would be more of an emphasis placed on playing some defense.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be somebody like Michael or somebody like Kobe that was doing that. You don't really have that right now. And I get it, because there's guys that they don't want to risk getting hurt in the All-Star game or All-Star weekend and having that impact their team. So it's definitely something that NBA, they're just kind of in a tough bind. And, I don't know if it's something where maybe you try to convince some of your stars to participate in some of the stuff you have on the weekend, like the slam dunk contest or a three-point shootout. But that's a tough question to answer. And it's one of those reasons why I'm glad I'm not Adam Silver.
No, I'm right there with you, because I don't know, you know, I don't know what to do, because for those guys, they don't get paid, you know, what they make to go to the All-Star game. I mean, that used to matter. I mean, it mattered for some of those guys. They make so much money now.
Right.
On and off the court. They don't need, you know, $50,000 for the winner of an All-Star
right.
game.
Right.
That's change for them.
Right. And the other factor, too, and this is something that I heard J.J. Redick talk about on his podcast recently, is just that those guys, like, when they go there, like, when they were in Salt Lake City last weekend, they had so many commitments, like, off of the court as well, that, like, they're not thinking about basketball necessarily at those given moments when they're, like, doing community service, or if they're doing something with, like, their brands that they have endorsements with, you know, and they have parties. I know it's not going to be quite like, say, Super Bowl weekend was 2 weeks ago in Arizona, but that's one of the reasons why you have that All-Star game. So it's not just for the NBA, but the NHL and MLB have the same thing. It allows their leagues all kind of get together. It allows the commissioners to provide updates as far as what's going on in their sports. Like, there's a lot more to it than just the game itself.
It is. Let's start with the Iowa women. You knew you were going to have a game like that, and it's not like Maryland is not talented. I mean, they're extremely talented.
Right.
They're very athletic. They're very big.
Yep.
And that was a game that Warnock, Marshall, and what's my other one? Warnock, Marshall, I'm missing the other gal, Kate.
Martin.
That was a game that was your game that you could step up and you can do that. Because teams are going to start doing, they're going to face guard Caitlin. They're going to front Monica.
Right.
And either Lisa Bluter and Jan Jensen have to figure out a different kind of rotation, or, you know, it's not every team can switch and play like Maryland can play, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll just say this. It's, you know, if they were going to have a stinker, yeah, it's unfortunate that it came at a cost of them getting it, not being able to have a chance on Sunday to play for a co-Big Ten championship, but it's better to have that out of the way now than, say, come March.
Right.
And have something like, you know, what happened last year with Creighton coming into Carver and beating them in the second round. You know, I think the bigger thing is trying to avoid that at all costs. What I'm going to be fascinated to see, I won't be in town for it next week, but I know the Big Ten tournament's going to be going on up here. I'm going to be interested to see how they approach that, because last year they won it. And this could be one of those things where it's like, okay, they have this game on Sunday against Indiana. Do you put all your energy into that? Just kind of, you know, do what you can here in Minneapolis, and, you know, however it plays out. And then allow yourself to refocus and just get back on the mindset of, okay, now the NCAA tournament's coming up, let's make a deep run. Or is it something where you try to go for that again, and then you risk the possibility of maybe being worn out as a result of having to go on a run like that?
I'm so in with you. I think winning a Big Ten championship is not as important as getting further in the NCAA tournament. It's not a feather in their cap. Last year it was a feather in their cap. It was something they needed to do.
Right.
They wanted to do. And I think it was fine. I think it's different this year.
And frankly, it's not going to change to that point. It's not going to change how anybody views Caitlin or Monica or anybody else on that team at this point. I think what they're going to be judged by, and what Lisa's going to be judged by as well, is what this team's able to do in March. Because if they're able to get to, like, at least a Sweet 16, if not an Elite 8, then, you know, what happened the other night in College Park is going to be long forgotten.
Stinker game last night for the Hawkeyes. Didn't shoot the ball well.
Yeah. No, the two games are rough.
Yeah, I don't think that matters. I still think they're and I don't see if I'm Iowa men, I don't want to win the Big Ten tournament either, because that didn't bode well for them last year as well.
Right. I'll just say this. It's one of those things where they, at this point, they're still in. But it goes back to what I've told you before. They got to handle their business at home. If they're able to do that on Saturday, then, you know, you against Michigan State, then you move on from what happened these last two games. However, if they somehow lose to Michigan State here, then you're going into Bloomington on a three-game losing streak, then I would say it's time to press the panic button, because something's not right at that point.
Yeah. I don't even know. I'm trying to think rotationally wise, and I wanted to ask you, because you watch a lot more than I do. Are you really telling me that having Ulis and Perkins on the floor at the same time is better than starting Peyton Sanford? Am I missing something, or is that is what they need to do?
I think Sanford's one of those guys that provides spark off the bench.
Okay.
And I think that's what you need. And frankly, it needs to be something where they got off to a decent start last night. They forced Wisconsin into turnovers, and I think Ulis can be a net positive for them. I think that the thing that's got to happen is, or what you saw in last night's game, is they clamped down defensively. Or, excuse me, Wisconsin, they clamped down in terms of they stopped turning the ball over.
Yeah.
And once they were able to do that, they were able to play their kind of game. And whereas if you're Iowa, you want to force turnovers, you want to get a run and gun going. So it's one of those situations where they got to just get back to what they would consider their basics, and just go out there on Saturday against Michigan State. And if they can play the kind of game that we know that they're capable of playing at home, then again, everything will be fine. And we'll still be talking about them as a tournament team come March. But it's at this point that game has a lot more weight on it now than it did a week ago.
And Michigan State playing at a little bit of a different level because of all the things that happen on campus. You never know how that plays into, are they going to play inspired
Absolutely.
Like they did the other night and everything. I'm trying to, I think also teams are starting to, and maybe it's because, you know, it was in the Register and everybody talked about it. You know, Connor McCaffrey's the key to this, and they didn't let Connor McCaffrey get a lot of free time. And not having Patrick McCaffrey be Patrick McCaffrey, it hurts.
Right. Yeah. And it's one, again, it just kind of goes back to, they need to get some production from the bench, because this is something that I noticed when they were up here in Minnesota a couple weeks ago. That was a game they were able to get by because they played a bad team, frankly. And I know they only go about 7 or 8 deep, but they need those contributions, whether it be from Peyton or Patrick or from Josh Dix when he's in there. They need that to go, because they can't just be solely relying on what you're getting from Tony or what you're getting from Phillip. And then Chris, too, I would say he struggled mightily last night, and I think he's somebody that there's going to be an onus on him to have a big game on Saturday.
And he's got to be careful with his foul trouble, too. It's become a little bit more prevalent here these last 3 or 4 games. What is your confidence level of the Chicago Bears moving into the offseason and doing everything they need to do?
I mean, it's probably just it's mild at the moment. A lot of it is kind of a wait and see at this point. I'm intrigued to see what Ryan Poles does in free agency once that starts, because they have all that cap space. And then the big question is going to be, if they do trade back, are they going to do that trade sometime like in mid-March, like you saw a couple of years ago at the 49ers when they traded up to get Trey Lance? Or is it going to be something where they take it all the way to the draft, and then that's when they make a move with a team like the Colts or a team like the Texans or a team like the Panthers? So that's probably the biggest thing to keep an eye on. But right now, it's just kind of a wait-and-see approach, just getting a read on who's out there and what they can offer. And, you know, if they're able to add a couple key pieces here in free agency when that starts up next month, obviously that's a step in the right direction.
Up in Minnesota, Brian Flores coming in, being defensive coordinator, people happy about that?
I think so, because that was kind of the that was the weak spot of this team. And the one thing that I know Viking fans would lament was just how awful the defense looked, especially late in the season. And you saw how Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley in that playoff game, they were able to move the ball almost at will on them. So I think that that's something that should probably help their defense, but at the same time, they're up against the cap here, and they're probably going to have to make some tough decisions, particularly on that side of the ball, in terms of who they're going to bring back and how they're going to replace them in the draft.
And it's interesting, too, because there were people out there, they were saying, would you rather have Kirk Cousins or Derek Carr? They were Kirk Cousins or – I mean, there is nobody more misaligned out there than Kirk Cousins. I think they lost games last year, and why the reason they had so many one-score games is because their defense was horrible.
Right. And it was one of those things where the offense needed a producer. You needed Justin Jefferson to play like he did. You needed Dalvin Cook to have some of his moments. And frankly, that's a valid argument for why they ended up going out and getting TJ Hockenson when they did it at that point. So, yeah, it's one of those things with Minnesota. They have the pieces on offense. The O-line started to look better, but again, I don't know if that's something that's going to carry over for them going into this upcoming season, because they had all of this luck and all of these things that went their way this past year. It's hard to believe that that's going to happen 2 years in a row.
One more quick college basketball, too. Minnesota Gophers, sure. Is there ever going to become a time where they get back to being an upper-level Big Ten team?
Maybe. It's definitely not right now. They look horrible at the moment. It almost reminded me, like, when I was at that game a couple weeks ago, I had similar vibes to what I experienced in college when I saw Iowa and Frank's predecessor was there.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where Minnesota better be careful. I know Ben Johnson's a former player, and he's supposedly got a big recruit coming in next year, but if they don't turn it around next season, then, yeah, I think there's a valid case for him being on the hot seat, because the apathy, I think, I've noticed is starting to set in with that fan base.
When we get to a point now where we're pretty much done with NFL, college basketball kind of ramping up, once college basketball, before baseball and before college football, what sport are you watching the most on TV?
Like, are you talking after March Madness?
After March Madness, yes.
Yeah, I would say it's between the NBA and the NHL at that point, because both of them are going to be starting their playoffs come April.
See, I think that's the savior, and I don't think they get enough credit, because I agree with you. I think it's the NHL. Yeah. A lot of people don't watch the regular season, but once it becomes playoffs, it becomes way more popular and moves them up in the echelon of sports. So I agree with you. That is the big one. Once again, B, thank you very much for coming in today. So I appreciate it, and we will talk again next week, my friend.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, man.
Have a good one. B Styles. Man, he's so good. So, so good. You are listening to Scene on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day. I want to thank, once again, Coach Kevin O'Hare and B Styles coming in. That's that part. That's a great part. You're listening to us live on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. One more segment. Be right back.
A man who lives and breathes Iowa sports. Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody, once again for the last time today. Happy Thursday. Drive safely, please. Get home. Enjoy some time at home. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ, and the website is 1700thechamp.com. Saturday, you're going to get Creighton, Villanova, Virginia, North Carolina, St. Mary's, Gonzaga, and Sunday, Northern Iowa, Belmont. A lot of good college basketball on the airwaves. This segment is going to be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance. Provide quality health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout central Iowa and the Midwest. Heritage is future-focused and driven by technology to find healthier and more efficient ways to serve their clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense and proper health care, be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology, and provide a peace of mind in protecting our future by being certified partners of science-proven microbial control to provide an advanced level of janitorial services to their clients. Go to heritageBLDG.com to check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services. Thank you to Heritage Building Maintenance, Palmer Group, Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, Northwest Bank, and Woodman Controls for being a part of the program. Want to thank Coach Kevin O'Hare for coming in. Good luck to those guys. I do believe tomorrow night they're heading up to Cedar Falls to get to that next step in these playoffs for high school basketball. Girls starting their trip to state starting on Monday. Congrats to all the winners and good luck to all of you. What else do I have here? I think I've hit all of those. Just a little potpourri to end the day. 38 years ago today, Bob Knight threw a chair on the floor and got ejected with 5 minutes to go in the game. Boy, that was a big deal back then, and there was no talk radio, there was no barely TV coverage. If that happened today, wow, what in the world would we get to do? I have no idea. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. I keep wanting to mention it. ESPN Vice President of Production, Pat Lowry, announced that in addition to Women's National Championship game being on ABC for the first time, so will the hour-long pregame show. ESPN hopes this will attract more fans and viewers to the event. If you really want to do that, why don't you put it on ABC, the semifinal games, too? That would get them involved with four teams and then get to see the next best two teams play for the championship. Maybe we can keep pushing them that way. I mentioned earlier in the show today that a few of the LIV golfers, you have to qualify. And majority of them are going to be past winners that are getting into these, but they are allowed to play in all of the major tournaments, which I did not think was going to happen at all. So that is very exciting to those who I do believe didn't think that was going to happen. And I think that's probably for good reason that they didn't think it was going to happen. This is not a, oh yeah, by the way, we're going to go away from this and do something else. I mean, this was personal, and, it's pretty amazing, just how personal it is and was. And I don't know if that's pettiness from one side or the other or a combination. I think what happened is I think some of the guys that left thought that maybe they would beg him to come back or a lot more would follow. And I'm just going to state the obvious here. And I'll add Rory to it. If you weren't getting Tiger to go, you're not getting the rest of these, especially these young guns from here. You're not getting them to go because Tiger Woods has never given them bad advice. And if Tiger wasn't going, there was no way in the world that they were going to follow and go in that direction. I think in the next 2 months, this is going to start really firing up. Is the Pac-12 has to figure out what they're going to do. I don't see a way, and maybe they get lucky and they find one, but I don't see a way that you can get the amount of money they need out of their TV contracts for the teams that are left there and what they have to offer, and you took away the two teams in the biggest market with USC and UCLA. And listen, when we lost Texas and Oklahoma in the Big 12, that hurt. And individually, Central Florida, Houston, Cincinnati, and BYU do not fill that void. Dollar-wise, you know, prestige-wise, but the simple fact of it is the SEC took Texas and Oklahoma at such an interesting time when Texas and Oklahoma haven't, I mean, Oklahoma's been more relevant than Texas, but I think Oklahoma has a much tougher road ahead because of, you know, they just don't have the money backing them that Texas does. And I don't know. I don't think it was a good fit for Oklahoma to go, but I think Texas needed a partner, and Oklahoma was the next best thing. And I feel bad for the Pac-12 because I think the Pac-12 and the Big Ten and the ACC to a certain extent kind of said, hey, we're going to stick together, because they couldn't say the Big 12 because they'd already all behind the doors, you know, kind of tossed us to the wayside. And we went out and made a quick move. And now we have a very aggressive director and commissioner. And I think that there are more moves that we can make. I definitely think they make a couple of basketball-only moves to get, because the Big 12 is already, if it's not the best conference in the NCAA, it's a millimeter below. And if you could pull in a Gonzaga and a couple other schools in there to get basketball wise, I think that's a really good idea. I think they're going to get a couple more teams. I don't think the Pac-12 can survive. I don't think they're going to have a big enough package that is going to keep all these people together, because the thing is, if the Big 12 doesn't take Utah and so they would take, help me here, and I'm going to have to remember this. They're going to grab Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, and I'm missing one. Why am I missing one? And it's going to be one I'm going to be angry about. Darn it. Somebody will have to help me, or I'm going to just let that one go. But they're gonna take four, because I think they're gonna understand it's more money, and it gets us into that that later time frame during the day. So I see that happening. I was gonna pull that up, because it just irritates me that I can go through all these things and forget stuff like that. I don't like having that happen. Who do we got here? So they're going to take Arizona. They're going to take Arizona State. They're going to take Utah, and they're going to take Colorado. And Colorado is probably, if I would have said that before and Scott was in here or John Schaefer was in here, they go, well, Colorado, that's ugh, what's that do? That's different now with primetime being there. That's a bigger piece of the pie, and that gets you somebody that's willing to market. That would be the first team that I would go after right now. And I do believe that Washington State, not particularly sure how that kind of slides there, but I do think that the Big Ten, I mean, I think they have some place they want to go, and if they were going to take somebody, because you still have to have that designation to get into the Big Ten. So I think it's a no-brainer that that they take Stanford. Then it's just who Oregon can do what Oregon wants to do. They have Nike money. And then that leaves you the Washington State, and Oregon State and California. And Oregon State and California are going to be the tough hauls. And it's not that they're not good, and it's not, but it's just not the market that everybody wants. That's going to be interesting to see what happens there. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day, right here on 1700 The Champ AM. 101.3 FM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Thank you very much for this week. I am off Friday and Monday. We'll be back in here Tuesday. Scott being here. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. See you then.